Here now selected verses about healing. After Jesus had left that place, he passed along the Sea of Galilee, and he went up the mountain where he sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the maimed, the blind, the mute, and many others. They put them at his feet, and he cured them, so that the crowd was amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed hold, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 through 31.
Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. If any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached the people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Mark chapter 6, verses 6 through 12.
Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. May God bless this reading and hearing. Amen. Beloved, let's pray. Our God, in Christ, we believe. Help our unbelief. Amen. So, in what ways do you need healing this morning? In what ways are your body, your mind, your soul, your relationships, your life, your world, in what ways are they broken? As you reflect on those questions, I'll tell you what I know. I know my hip kind of hurts today. I know my car is falling apart. I know I'm worried about some things, maybe even anxious about a few things. I know that my spiritual engine that helps me to put my hope and trust in God, my engine is unreliable. And maybe yours is too. I've got friends and family members and neighbors and people that I know and love dearly who have serious chronic diseases. I've got relationships in my life that are fractured, torn, maybe even in open conflict. I know that I've got a need for healing in my life, my body, my mind, my relationships, my world. And I know this too, that I am not alone. That everybody here today stands in need of healing. Each in a different way, each in their own ways, each to a different degree, but each of us and all of us, we need medicine, inoculation, balm. And maybe we even need miracle. So I will ask again, in what ways this morning do you need healing? Let's take a few moments to just acknowledge that to ourselves and to our God in this time of quiet. All four Gospels bear witness to the popularity of Jesus. His public ministry starts out quietly enough with a dip in the Jordan River with John the Baptist, with some wandering in the wilderness, quietly calling some followers to follow him. But soon the quiet becomes buzz, and crowds begin to form. Matthew, in our passage this morning, tells us that the maimed and the lamed and the blind and the mute, they came to see Jesus. And do you know what Jesus did when they came to see him? He welcomed them and he healed them. Did you catch that? That he healed them. It's a problem for us in our lives, this miracle of Jesus, this display of him coming down and healing people. He healed people who really needed it. They came and he healed them. There's a problem for us, though, this morning, because we stand here on one hand and we acknowledge our need for healing. And on the other hand, we hear this great claim of Jesus as the great healer. The problem for us is that these miracles of Jesus, they seem so miraculous, right? Like magic and like sorcery. Really? Jesus came down and touched a blind person and healed him? Really, he ministers to a leper and the leprosy is removed? I mean, most of us just haven't had that experience in our lives, right? And in fact, maybe the opposite, that we've asked and we've asked and we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed really hard and still our ailments persist and our bodies break down and we still need healing. So we're down to it this morning. Down to the tension in our very real lives and our very real faith between our own need for real healing and the claims that Jesus and the church can heal us. Like many Christians that have gone before us, we wonder what the miracles of Jesus are all about, his healing miracles in particular. We worry that Jesus' healing model and the claims that we can hear in Jesus' name is like so much snake oil. We worry that there's really no healing through the church or through Christ at all. The church is good for teaching, for education, for fellowship, for coffee hour, for good works, for mission and social justice, but for healing? Maybe not so much. So here's an experience in my life that changed how I come at this and how I experience healing in the church. I was a chaplain for a summer in the hospital as part of my training to be a pastor. I was a brand new neophyte chaplain, and I was on call for maybe the second time, and a code blue sounds across the hospital PA system. A code blue is when there's a cardiac arrest or a stroke or some other urgent medical emergency, and everyone's supposed to drop what they're doing and go to the site. So here I am as the new chaplain, and I hear this call, and my training was to go up there, but I'm worried, I'm anxious. I have absolutely no idea what my role as a chaplain is going to be in the middle of a medical emergency. But I went anyway. I dropped the paperwork I was doing in the chaplaincy office, and I went up to the ICU, and I got there, and I saw about 20 medical professionals in and out of the room where this man's having a heart attack, earnestly trying their best to save his life. So I arrive on scene, sweating bullets, completely has no idea what I'm supposed to do, and I hang in the back, and I just awkwardly wait for the whole code thing to be over so I can go back to the chaplain's office and finish all of my paperwork. So that's when this grizzled ICU nurse, you know her, right? She brushes past me. And this grizzled ICU nurse had no patience for useless chaplains like me, and she had the gift of frankness. So she brushes past me, and she says, very clear, she says something just like this. She says, "Don't just stay back here. No one can see you. That man's dying up there. Go pray for him and make sure they can see you praying for him. And while you're at it, pray for all of us too, because we really need your prayers right now. Now get up there." Embarrassed, mortified, just feeling so useless. But quickly I came to value that grizzled ICU nurse, right? And her instruction and her faith and her direction to me, because I came to see in that moment that there was a role for the healing Christ in the middle of a medical emergency. I belonged in that room. They needed me in that room. I was a spiritual partner in the medical healing team. That grizzled ICU nurse taught me what the church for so long had failed to teach me, that yes, Jesus heals. And as his follower, I am to use my position, my hands, my voice, my prayers, everything I've got to contribute to the healing way of Jesus Christ. So I am here this morning to play the role of the grizzled ICU nurse, to claim and to reclaim the healing way of Jesus Christ for this congregation and in your life. And to do that, I want to talk to just a few minutes about the ancient tradition of healing oil, as we've talked a little bit about so far. In our passage from James chapter 5, an early church letter by an early church leader who said this, towards the end of his letter, he said, "Are any among you sick? Call the leaders of the church around to pray over them and to anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's talk a little bit about that. It is a glimpse into a time in the early church that was less shy about healing. It's a glimpse into a time in the early church who was very clear that Jesus was a lot of things, but one of the things he was a great healer. And they embraced his healing tradition and tried to carry it on in their own way. It is a glimpse into the early church that used a simple ritual of anointing one another with oil as a catalyst for healing in our lives and in the lives of others. The healing oil in the church is called chrism, which you'll agree sounds like the word Christ, right? Christ is not a last name, Jesus Christ, like Kevin Goldenbogen, but Christ is a title, and in the Greek it means anointed one, right? So Jesus is the anointed one, and the chrism is that which does the anointing. Second, there's nothing magic about healing oil. It is simply a way for us to take time and have the space to remember our own need for healing and to, through the anointing, to be connected to the anointed one and to open ourselves up to the healing that Jesus can and does bring. Lastly, I'll say that The tradition of anointing one another with oil is an ancient tradition, but it is not an outdated one. Because you need healing today, right? And I need healing today. And we need the church, I think, and the tradition, the long and wide river of the tradition, to give us simple rituals that we can use to acknowledge our own need for healing, and then to invite the healing Christ into our lives. So I'm going to stop talking. And in just a few moments, I'm going to call you forward, and we're going to have four stations around the sanctuary. Susan and I and Kathy and Steve, our deacons, will be around, including up in the balcony. We will sing our closing hymn, and we will just repeat verses of that hymn until all who have received oil have done so. When you come forward, it's simple. Just come to any one of the stations of your choosing and present either your forehead or your hand and to receive some oil. There are tissues in the pews if there is a little too much oil and that's a concern to you. If you are unable to come forward for any reason but would like to receive oil, just signal one of us and we will come and serve you in your pew. If you choose not to come forward for oil, that is completely fine. Know that that is warmly welcomed, and we just invite you to use this time in any way that you need in this time and place. And so with that, and before we come and before we sing, let us pray. Before I do that, I'll invite Stephen and Susan and Kathy to join me up front. And we pray this. Healing Christ, as you taught us to do so long ago, your followers have been anointing one another with oil for healing and for hope. We who stand in need of healing today, set aside this oil for your use. Fill it with your Spirit. Remind us through it that we are forgiven and loved. And as the oil sinks into our skin, may your healing sink into our bodies, minds, souls, and wherever it is needed most. Amen. I invite you to come and to sing.